This podcast replay is brought to you by EJDConstruction.com. Call Eric at EJD Construction at 305-433-4843. They do it all, residential or commercial. EJDConstruction.com is the custom home builder and general contractor you can trust. 305-433-4843.
All right. Yeah. There he is. He's ready to go. He's locked and loaded. There you are. How you feeling, my brother? How you hanging there?
I'm good, man. I'm holding it together. Got rookie camp all the way to Saturday, and then we get Tuesday as the first look-see at the team. They'll be on the field. I get to see Tua's arm live, which is something that I've been looking forward to doing. We'll see how this thing shakes out and what it looks like. Do I expect an amazing practice in any session that I see the next 2 weeks? No, absolutely not. But it's just good to see that football's getting
closer. Why you gotta put low expectations on something in right from the get-go? Maybe you see an amazing practice that is beautiful, and the ball is flying around all over the place, and people are catching it. Why diss it before it even happens?
One, it's rookie camp this weekend. They don't even know what field to run to.
Skyler may be a diamond in the rough. He might be slinging it all over the place.
Absolutely. I think I hear actually great things about Skyler. In fact, one of my closest contacts is a big Skyler Thompson fan. And so Moxie, Intangibles, kid you want to root for. But they don't know what field to even run to when the whistle blows. I don't have high expectations for the entire rookie class. Dude, it's a third-round pick, a fourth-round pick, and two seventh-round picks, along with 14 undrafted players.
That's going to be impactful as hell. Do you know why? Nobody looks – Mike McDaniel, oh, my God, you saw him. He weighs 80 pounds. He looks like a geek. You know what I mean? And now, you know, draft class that is only a couple of picks. I'm telling you, everything we underestimate is going to end up overperforming, because every time we overestimate everything in the past, it underperforms. So that's what this whole theme of this whole offseason has been, that we've tamed everything from the get-go. Even with Mike McDaniel, when he was first, he's won people over after he's been here. But when he first was hired, people were like, really, dude, that guy?
No, that's not accurate at all.
No, that is very accurate at the beginning.
I will tell
very
you
very accurate.
That is not accurate at all.
They're calling him a geek. That he weighed 80 pounds.
No.
That he's the only one. The Dolphins were the only ones that interviewed him.
That was mentioned. However, everybody talks about the Mike McDaniel narrative is, oh, he's a genius. He's a mastermind. You know, same things we said about Adam Gase. Then we had he's multiracial and that little drama. And yes, people mentioned that he was the first. Dolphins were one and only, and that does make me uncomfortable, because Dolphins, you know, 9 teams are looking for a head coach, and not one of those teams outside of the Dolphins interview this guy. And I get it. He's got some baggage, and I hope Dolphin fans have done their research and know what his baggage is. His baggage doesn't bother me one bit.
He had an alcohol issue. Big deal, bro. He's overcome it. That's it.
So I get, you know, why the Dolphins were one of 9 teams that interviewed him, and he got his first job he ever interviewed for, putting him in the company of Sean McVay. And I don't know anybody else who's ever done that. But the narrative wasn't that this guy sucks or that, you know, he's 80 pounds. It was always told to me, at least, that innovator, smart.
No, that was after they hired him. Then people started looking
during that period.
I'm saying the initial impression.
No.
I got him, bro. I got him from
the very early stages. while I'm banging the drum for Dolphins to go after Daboll and for them to interview Doug Peterson and go after veteran coaches, he was always perceived as the front runner and the fan favorite. Whether it was planted to the fans or not, he was.
Daboll was the favorite. He was the number two.
No, Daboll was never a realistic. Daboll was never really a realistic option.
No. Daboll was the guy they wanted, but they couldn't get him because Buffalo was going to get him. But Daboll was the number one. Because remember, I told you Daboll was.
They didn't even full court press Daboll.
They couldn't.
No, they didn't want to. So
they
don't
couldn't,
say
bro. Once they got their GM. They got Daboll at the same time. It was done. It was over.
It was not the same time, and Miami had their opportunity.
No, what I mean is, once they hired that guy, they had the angle for Daboll, is what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely, and everybody knew that, but including the Dolphins, and they had a weekend to get their shit together, and they were like, nah, we're good.
Yeah, because they like McDaniel. I know that. Yeah, I'm the one that told you that it was – Daboll, McDaniel. That's it. There was no other guy on the list. Daboll, McDaniel. None of the other guys. As much as I wanted Caldwell, never on the list. It was those two guys. That's it.
Don't forget the kid in Dallas and then the one that took that and Dan Quinn who took his name out of consideration.
Those were fallback plans. These were the guys that they wanted. They wanted Daboll and him. Those were the two guys they felt could ignite their offense. Those two guys.
If they wanted Daboll, they should have made a better effort, but they didn't. And the reason that they didn't.
The GM thing, dude.
What?
The GM thing.
I understand.
They already have a GM in place. They're not going to go hire another GM.
I understand the GM thing. Knowing Steve Ross, you at least make it competitive. You at least bid and bid big. They didn't. They didn't make an effort. It is what it is. Were they going after Sean Payton? Were they at that time? Were they distracted by Peyton Manning? Who knows? But when they had a weekend to get their act together, and they chose not to. They were like, "Ah, we're good. We'll figure it out."
Yeah. No. And by the way, they've kind of been like that about almost every situation, every scenario out there. They don't necessarily go crazy about anything. Like, they don't go flinching about things.
They went crazy over the offensive line to Ron Armstead, and they went crazy over Tyreek Hill. So I don't know.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. That those are things that are kind of like no.
If they made the same effort for Tyreek and Teron that for Daboll, they might have landed him. I don't know, but they might have. But they didn't. They just were like, okay, all right, cool, whatever. And props to them. Hey, they feel like they know what they're doing. Cool. We've also felt like we've known what we were doing for 20 years. Didn't work out. We'll see if this works out.
What'd you think of the schedule?
I don't care.
I'm not big on the schedule, but you know what I love about the schedule? We find out about the Dolphins in the first month. It's freaking awesome.
First quarter is awesome.
You play the Pats, the Ravens, the Bills, and the Bengals. You find out where you are.
Yeah, but I love opening with the Patriots, and here's why. They don't know what you're doing. They don't have a clue. They don't have an idea. Even though they've seen it in the preseason, they've seen it with the 49ers. They don't know. They have no clue, and they won't have any film.
Right.
So that benefits you, and it's here. That benefits you. The Dolphins have split series of the Patriots, for a decade. So even with Brady,
What I mean is the first four weeks. You know, it's a tough schedule to start with. It's a nice measuring.
I think your opponents are your opponents. You've known who your opponents were for five months now. I think the stretch in late December, a stretch in early December, is tough, where they're on the road. A ridiculous amount of times.
Well, at 49ers, at Chargers, at Bills is what you're saying, right?
At 49ers, at Chargers, at Bills. Keep going. There's a little bit more to it.
Oh, no. Green Bay, they're home.
Green Bay.
And then they're at the Pats and the Jets. It's not that.
I mean, yeah, but until we get to the
I don't really fear the Pats.
Until we get to the Jets, that's December games are where you make your playoff push.
Yeah, I don't fear the Pats nearly as much as some.
Okay, until you, when you get to December games, that's where you get make your playoff push. Do you see this team winning four of the final six games with that schedule?
They're going to be a playoff team, so however you want to look at it, bro.
I mean,
they'll be in the playoffs.
Answer the question.
They'll be in the playoffs. They'll win 11 games.
Okay.
I don't know what 11 games you want.
To win 11 games.
They'll win 11 games.
To win 11 games, they're going to have to play well in December. Do you see them winning four of six in the final stretch?
Why not? Why not? The 49ers don't have a quarterback that can scare you.
Oh,
the Bills and the Chargers are very good.
Hold on. Do not disrespect Jimmy G. He's taken two teams to the doorsteps.
Are you even sure he's going to be there by that week? Are you sure he's even going to be healthy that
okay.
week?
If Jimmy G, if Tua delivers the same stats that Jimmy G had last season, you'd be throwing him a parade.
Okay, that's fine. That's
don't disrespect him.
I'm happy for you. The facts are Jimmy G gets sacked a lot, and the facts are they want to trade Jimmy G.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't fear the other kid, and I don't fear Jimmy G. I'm sorry. Okay, cool. You fear him? That's all fine. Right. I don't.
Tell me the four.
The Chargers and the Bills obviously are going to be a bitch. Green Bay is going to be tough, but Pats and Jets. I don't fear the Pats.
You basically going to have to win the final two games, which is and one's in Foxborough, which you know how hard it is to win.
And it's not like they have Ryan Tannehill. They can win the final two games. So that's all right. Don't worry about it. It's not the end of the world.
Hey, Ryan
Tannehill. And by the way, if they're playing well, why can't they challenge any of these teams? What's
when
that?
When you needed to win the final two games as the Dolphins, Ryan Tannehill got up in that ass.
And he failed.
At the end, in the playoffs.
Yeah, it was the Jets and the Bills. They needed one of the two wins, and he failed. That's what I'm saying.
I'm talking about last year.
Tua will win those games is the difference, is what I'm saying. That's the difference. That's all. They'll be a playoff team this year. You don't think they're going to be a playoff team this year, right?
Cool. Yeah, sure.
You don't, right?
I don't know. I let me see.
No. There's no fence straddling here.
Can I see
right now?
See the offense
right now in May. No, I know before you see anything, anything right now. Do you think they're playoff?
No. Before I see anything, no. Sorry.
There you go. That's all I want to hear.
AFC is too tough. Too many good quarterbacks in the division. You never know where injuries are going to lead your team. You don't know how the offensive line is going to look. You don't know how the defense is going to play. When they got respectable, they didn't play any quarterbacks at the end of the season. No, I'm not going to sit here and say the Dolphins are a playoff team. Sorry. Okay. I would like to see the offense. I'd like to see if they're committed to the run game. I'd like to see the offensive line. I'd like to see how they incorporate Tyreek Hill. I'd like to see Tua's arm. Yeah. That's fine.
That's why I want to hear where you stand right now.
All right.
That way, by the end of training camp, then I can get a feel for where you're at, and then we'll know how the season's gonna play out. All of that. That's kind of the idea.
Yeah.
Figure things out. Are you surprised they only have two primetime games? Because I'm not really, actually.
No. Thursday night, and they gave you a little charity at the beginning with a Monday. What is Monday night game?
The Bengals, the Thursday game.
Thursday. What's the other primetime game?
Sunday. Actually, according to Sean, he's right. We have three of them because really, Green Bay on Christmas Day, when there's only three games, and the whole league is playing on Saturday.
All right.
Is that considered a prime? That's considered prime.
Yeah,
primetime, right?
I mean, it's just about being nationally televised.
Yeah, because there's only three games on, so the game that's on every time is the only game on. So that is a primetime game. So if that's the case, Omar, then the December 25th game is a primetime game. The Thursday game against the Bengals is a primetime game. And the Pittsburgh Steelers Sunday night game against Minka and your boy Flo is also a primetime game.
Yes.
By the way, when – Do you have credentials from the Gazette and the Sentinel on that night?
But dual credentials. Dual credentials. Yes.
So now, do you clone yourself that night so you can go into both locker rooms?
We don't go in the locker rooms anymore. Everything's Zoom.
So no. You're back in the locker rooms this year. What's wrong with you?
When I see it, I'll believe it, bro. When I see it, I believe it. I haven't.
It's the NFL, dude. If it was the NBA, you can say that, but not in the NFL, bro. They don't believe in COVID. What are you talking about?
Listen, the NFL, I've been through the protocols and all the crap that they have to put through. I've been tested once a week last year. Trust me, the NFL believes in COVID. So don't say that.
I know they believe in COVID, but I mean, they kind of.
They've got stern rules. Don't think that they don't.
No, I know that, but that doesn't really. They do, huh?
Yeah,
they have stern rules, right? Yeah, for Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. They got stern rules. Yeah. Sure, Omar. Sure.
I mean, he got in trouble, didn't he?
Yeah, because he avoided the rules.
He's Aaron Rodgers. Exceptions are made. Even Jimmy Johnson would say that.
That's true. That is very, very true. All right. What else did you, anything else you can come from the schedule that I didn't ask? Because I know I had to ask you about Pittsburgh because that's going to be a really busy night for you. Obviously, you know, will you have like a flow special before that game? An I Am Athlete pregame show a couple hours before with Flo?
Would love to with Tomlin, not Flo.
No, with Flo. With Flo. Flo is your buddy.
Man.
Tomlin, forget about it. Do you smoke cigars?
Do I?
Yes.
Used to with you. What are you talking about?
I know, but well, so I'm trying to help you here. I'm trying to help you here, okay?
Now that you're part
of the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, you want to get closer to Tomlin. Let me walk you through this, okay?
He's in cigar bars?
Dude, I've smoked cigars with him till 2 a.m, bro.
Okay.
I've got Tomlin stories if you want. But anyway, I'm just telling you. Okay, a little Macanudo action.
Yeah.
He loves his cigars, bro. Okay? All right? He loves his cigars. Big cigar guy. Good dude, by the way. Really good dude. Like when you get him away from all the football stuff.
Yeah.
You know? And you could get him at Nikki Blaine's for a couple of hours and all that. Yeah, those were the days. I don't know if they still do that stuff, unfortunately. I bet they're next year when I go to the combine, I'm going to be very interested to see how much, not just COVID, but the cameras and the phones have changed because it was already changing the last time I went, which was 4 years ago now. I've missed the last three combines, bro.
I was just there. Still same level of debauchery.
At night, they're still hanging out?
Yeah.
Really?
Okay. Yeah.
All right, that's good.
The same level of debauchery.
Okay.
I wasn't partaking, but, you know, I know they ran up on Flores on the streets. They ran up on a lot of guys on the streets. Still running the streets, man.
No, because I, for those guys, like, they don't even want to have a picture taken with a drink.
Yeah, no. You know what they do? You know what they do?
Which is so stupid that we've gotten to this point and these men can't be relaxed.
They have gatherings in the suites.
Yeah, that's what I'm hearing, that they're more private, right?
Yeah, they're more private. So they've gotten, and it's not like the bus, you know. It's more private, and they don't put it on Front Street that they're out gallivanting the town.
Yeah. I know that because in the last couple years, I know I would end up going to some suites for parties, like get-togethers and all that. And
yeah.
So the only people that were there, nobody was using a phone or anything like that because everybody's drinking. So nobody's taking phones and pictures of each other and all that kind of stuff. Everybody would respect the space in that moment.
Nah,
so,
you don't pull out your phone in Indy.
Yeah. So I would imagine that. That's what I'm wondering is how much it would change. Because I know it changed in Mobile a lot. Like a lot in Mobile it changed. Because I stopped running into, you know, like football people stopped going to Sammy's. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
Sammy's is already closed already. You know what I'm saying? But it got to a point where they stopped even going to Sammy's, and I don't blame them because, you know, phones were all over the damn place.
Veets is still living strong.
You know, the last time I went, it wasn't nearly as packed as it normally would be.
Oh, it was, I was there a year ago, I think, or something like that. I know I've been in Mobile recently, not super recently. And it was
the last two Mobiles.
You walk in Beats, it's shoulder to shoulder.
You're there. Well, I remember 3 years ago when the last time I went, it wasn't as packed Beats. And it wasn't as packed with NFL people as it used to be. So I was wondering where else that they would go, because obviously, and I think it's becoming more of a sweet thing than anything else, where guys are just getting together and having some fun. All right. What else are you working on? I Am Athlete, Sun Sentinel, so you can promote and get it out there, my friend.
Let's see. I'm doing I Am Athlete tonight on Sirius Radio, Channel 82 tonight. Been doing it all week because majority of the guys went to L.A. for a big interview. When you see that one, you'll be like, oh, okay. Then rookie camp this week. Writing columns about the class that basically nobody cares about. And then next Tuesday, I get to see Tua throw live in person, which
there you go.
Been waiting for that for quite a while. COVID messed that up for me.
But after he impresses the crap out of you, you're still not allowed on the bandwagon. I just want you to know that.
When we're
undefeated through the first 8 weeks of the season, you're not allowed on the bandwagon.
Me and Safedine are the only Tua supporters in the media.
No, you're not. You're not a Tua supporter in the media. What the hell is wrong with you?
So you get.
You're a Florida supporter in the media.
I'm not in Tuanon, and I don't have any desire to be in Tuanon.
Okay, you're not a Tua supporter. You're a Flo supporter.
I'm a believer in Tua. I am.
And we're in the AFC Championship game. You do not get on the bandwagon.
Okay.
No, there's no bandwagon for you.
All right.
When we're winning the Super Bowl in Arizona, there's no bandwagon for you.
No, can't be on the bandwagon. Got it.
No, but not you.
Don't want to.
I don't know. I can't pick on stuff.
I don't.
I'm not sure if Buffett is on or off. You are definitely off the bandwagon.
I don't want a guy with a dolphin helmet talking in a coded voice language.
You, Shad, and Poopar are completely off the bandwagon.
Those two are definitely not on.
And Cam Wolf, if they're not on, neither are you, by the way. Cam Wolf, by the way, is still on the bandwagon with us.
He's really? Still alive.
He hasn't given up completely.
Okay.
He's a little wishy-washy sometimes. You know what I mean? But he hasn't given up completely. Speaking of wishy-washy, Cam Wolf will join us at 12:30.
I'll let Cam speak for himself. Hey, listen, it's a tough road in that media contingent defending Tua. But it is what it is. He's got to prove it, despite all the things that he's accomplished with crap supporting staff and a toxic relationship with his head coach. 13-8, but you know what?
It's all good. It's all good. After he kicks ass this year, I will be the only glorious member in the media standing saying, I never flinched. I stayed strong throughout the whole thing.
And that leadership's got to get better.
The leadership's been there. The arm's fine. Everything's fine. There's no flow in the way. By the way, this is the other thing I'm going to tell you. And look for it now. You're going to see what happens, because you talked about this draft class and you talked about the street free agents and all that kind of stuff. Not that sexy. You're going to see some impactful stuff coming out of all that. You're going to see more impactful stuff coming out of what's happened in free agency overall this year. You're going to see more impact from the roster overall, because you did not have the cock blocker in the middle of the way. And I think because you eliminated the cock blocker, now that front office is going to be able to thrive and do the things that it really wants.
I have a great deal of respect for that front office, and there are a lot of people that I know and like and respect that I respect that front office, the individual in that front office. But yes, I've been a little bit disappointed in their delivery the last couple of seasons. And if you're saying that flow was the issue, then
main issue has been flow. You're going to see more flow amongst everything that's going on in there now. And I think we're going to see, because
I like that.
And again, I've never flinched from this and I never will. I've said it from the moment that you got Marvin Allen, Reggie McKenzie, and Chris Greer together. This will prove to be one of the best front offices in the NFL. And I think now these guys will be allowed to do their thing, because McDaniel is not going to be a meddler. He's going to be a guy that suggests, and then you get him the player and he'll be fine with it. You know what I mean? But he's not going to be the guy that's going to say, I know personnel more than you do. And that's the problem they have.
They all meddle.
We'll see.
They all want what they want.
Sure. But there's a tipping point to everything. And I think that McDaniel will not cross that tipping point. Unlike your boy Flo, when you cover him with the Gazette, he'll tell you that, you know, he'll go over the tipping point a little too much.
My boy Flo.
Your boy Flo.
We had one sit down conversation. He's my boy.
Well, I saw the peace pipe going back and forth. I mean, you know, I think it was in a teepee hut and everything that you guys were in, right? I mean, that's how official
that interview got contentious a lot. And there was only one person making it contentious.
I saw hugs and kisses, didn't you?
Yeah.
Like hearts and things coming up. And you ever seen like when you're on YouTube or whatever and you hit something, the little hearts come out? That's all I saw in that interview. Just hearts flowing all over.
Let me tell you something about that interview. I initially told them I didn't want to do it because I have a bad relationship with Flo. And the only way I would do it is if Flo said he wanted me to do it. And that's how I ended up there. But yeah, we don't have a good relationship. And I'm not sure we'll ever have a good relationship. I respect him for what he's doing. I respect him for what he stands for. Do I believe everything that he says? No. But I think he believes everything he says. So
he is fighting for a really important cause. That's
absolutely
the part.
No question about it.
He's the wrong person to be representing that cause, but
no, he's the right person. He's the right person because he's a man of conviction, and you need a man of conviction, a man that won't sell out for what that cause is.
Yeah, it's just a bad example. You had to use somebody that was really...
No, it's a great example. It's a great example because he's a winning record. He produced two winning records. He had a miraculous turnaround. People were having discussion for coach of the year, and then you fired him. And you fired him not for performance, but because he had a bad relationship with everybody.
So, okay? Just because...
And his claim is he had a bad relationship with everybody because you wanted him to tank, and he wouldn't tank. And there's truth and validity to that.
Yeah, no, there's so much truth to a guy that all of a sudden has scruples, but he worked for Bill Belichick for 16 years.
And you hired the black guy to tank. And that's part of the lawsuit, too. You hired the black guy to tank so that you could dump him when you know, hey. Yeah,
if you really had scruples, you would have reported him right there and then. Yeah, but you don't. Yeah, so you wait till it's... for your convenience. As I told you, Flo lost it all with me by not admitting that he didn't want Tua, by acting like he loved Tua.
They're never going to admit that.
They'll never admit that.
You think Adam Gase admitted that he never wanted Sam Darnold? No, it'll never happen.
You know what I mean? But you got it. You know what I mean? It's just like, okay, so hard for me to admit. You know, if you want to be Mr. Truthful, you got to be Mr. Truthful all the way, bro. Even if it pains you, even if it pains somebody else.
He didn't tell a lie. He said his relationship was contentious with them at times, but players and coaches challenge one another. That's what those good relationships do. You know, I'm not sure Tua sees it that way, especially since he coached with Nick Saban, so I would think Nick Saban would challenge him plenty. Oh, but, yeah. You know,
oh, yeah.
there's a lot of growing to do for everybody.
I'm not picking Tua for growth there. I think Tua's
Tua needs to grow too. Don't think he doesn't.
to have handled things more professional than anyone else.
At no point should you have said to yourself, I don't want to be a team captain because that means I would have to sit in a meeting with Flo once a week. Like, I'm sorry. That's not acceptable. You need to grow and be better than that.
Well, it's when you have no support, it's kind of, you know, it's one of those things, bro. And trust me, I've been in businesses where you have no support, and it's not a fun thing, bro. It's not a fun thing when they expect you to do everything and they give you nothing. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So
wow. I didn't know that parallel could be made, but
Yes. Lack of support is every relationship, as I've said millions of times, needs to be nurtured. Doesn't matter what it is, bro. Could be business, could be personal, could be your dog, could be anything. Could be a salesperson that sees a customer coming up. You better nurture that relationship if you want to make that sale. Absolutely. If you want to get somebody to do something, you want to pick up that woman, you want to, whatever it is, any kind of relationship must be nurtured.
I'm going to take that for life, just so you know. I'm going to bother.
You should. Yeah. It's your daughter. It's your wife. It's your boss. It's everything. It's Sean. It's whatever. Every relationship in life has to be nurtured. If it isn't, then there's going to be a problem in that relationship. It's the way it is, you know? So, I mean, we all have to make some kind of sacrifices in all of our relationships. All right. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly, where he is definitely off the Tua bandwagon because he doesn't make it right in those relationships.
Don't want to ride to Anon. I'm good. Don't want my membership card.
We'll be waving you down from the Super Bowl. That's all right. That's all right. It's all good. See you later. Follow him on Twitter at Omar Kelly and subscribe at the South Florida Sun Sentinel, please. Support Omar, even if he doesn't support our guy, Tua. See you later.